Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
We haven't been able to talk about an actual game for a while. Friday, of course, we did the show. And then we had the weekend. And then Monday, there was no game. So we didn't have anything to discuss. We talked some in some ways about the Angel stuff, but more about, I was more interested in etiquette when it came to getting beaned by a pitch and how you respond. So we did have the opportunity. I just found something more interesting to discuss, at least in my eyes. But the game was fun yesterday. You had the Astros being shut down by someone who has the hair of a guy who's in a TikTok content house. Have we seen Ranger Suarez do? He normally don't. He's got the hat on when he's out there. But I saw him take off the hat, and I go, this dude fits right in with some kid in L.A. doing TikTok videos. By the way, Ranger Suarez is like 29 years old. So I would say he's probably too old for a content house. I don't know the age range. He's at maybe the back end of a millennial.
He's Vine Star age.
Yeah, he's a little old for the.
He's a Vine Star. He's had to pivot.
Yeah, he's a little old for the TikTok houses, but he's got the hair for it. So I guess I commend him for his feathered, dyed hair. But he was great last night. In fact, I would say. Probably say, even though he didn't get the win, better than Fromber. Fromber was in and out of trouble. Some of it thanks to Christian Walker. He booted a ball, led to an error, and then I think the following batter hit a double, and it felt like one of those moments where this is the Fromber blow up. The occasional one where he gives up a couple runs in an inning and then rights himself and is fine the rest of the way, but mostly because of something that wasn't pitching related. Like, if usually it's a fielding error and that leads to a mistake, throwing a pitch to a guy in a spot he shouldn't. Christian Walker almost led to a big inning. And I bring up Christian Walker specifically because I was sold on Christian Walker being an improvement at first base and being a good defensive first baseman. That has not really played out so much. And of course, the hitting, we know about the bat, his struggles there. I was trying to think. I'm sure people bought Christian Walker jerseys. I shouldn't say I'm sure. I imagine some people bought Christian Walker jerseys once that signing was announced. Hey, a new player. I want to get a new jersey. People love buying jerseys. I'm going to get a Christian Walker jersey. Has anyone bought an Astros Christian Walker jersey since about mid-April? Do you think anything he's done would have motivated anyone to go into that team store and buy one? Like, who's walking around with one of those jerseys? I know people like the City Connect jerseys. But thankfully, you have options. It doesn't have to be a Christian Walker
jersey. I've seen a City Connect
Christian Walker jersey.
Christian Walker jersey. Yeah.
Okay,
because it was announced around the time of opening day.
But that's early in the season.
Early in the season, he was the new addition. They probably already had, you know, Altuve and Pena covered.
Of course.
They were like, oh, let's Christian Walker. Yeah, hasn't aged well. I think you're right about, like, April, what, 15th? Probably the last time.
Tax day. The last time anyone wanted to get a Christian Walker jersey.
I was going to say April 20th, actually.
But yeah, well, when you might have gotten your return. And you want to spend it on a Christian Walker jersey.
Yeah.
But,
or your high.
That, too. I'm not a jersey person. And when I was a kid, I had some. Like, I had an Eddie Jones Laker jersey because I grew up in Southern California. I was dumbly rooting for the Lakers at the time. That has since changed. I was gifted jerseys from family, like the old school, like a Wilt Chamberlain jersey, among others. So I've had jerseys in the past. I'm trying to think if Christian Walker's Astros jersey would be the one I most regret if I had bought one. Like, do you own jerseys?
Yes.
Think of all the jerseys you have currently or have had. There might be some regrettable ones, or maybe you make great choices, and all those jerseys are cool. Yeah.
There's like a youth medium David Carr jersey. Okay. From
but you didn't make that decision. Yeah, someone bought that for you.
I will say most of my jerseys aren't my decision.
Or gifts.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're especially like back when I was in like junior high kind of age. It was just like, oh, he likes sports. It was like a grandparent like, oh, he likes sports. And they go to whatever, Ross or Academy.
Yeah.
And they just pick out a green Dirk Nowitzki jersey. And they're like, here you go. I'm like, I'm not a Mavericks fan. Whatever.
Like, at least my family, they don't buy me jerseys. But even at this age, one of my aunts will know I like the Canes or the Dolphins. So they'll send it. It's a shirt, which is safe.
Shirt is better and also cheaper.
I'm not looking for
them in that direction.
Yeah, I'm not looking for them to go get the authentic Jaylen Waddle jersey because I don't wear jerseys and football jerseys aren't great to wear, at least in my eyes.
You on a football Friday coming in with your Tyreek Hill replica.
Sorry, I'm not a bartender at name a restaurant that features women in little clothes. I'm not there, so I don't need to wear on Sports Friday. I don't need to wear a jersey. I don't need that. So, no, I've told them don't buy me one of those jerseys. It's fine.
Yeah.
A shirt is cool. I can wear a shirt no matter what the day is get away with it.
I have a Rockets number 25 Mapes jersey.
I have one, an Olalea. I don't have a Mapes one. That'd be weird. I have a 25 Olalea jersey thanks to the Rockets. They gave those out. To celebrate the playoffs, right?
Yeah, that was before the playoffs.
Yes. We also, both of us, I think, have Rockets bags, backpacks as well.
Yeah, we do.
So the Rockets have given us some swag. I will never wear that jersey because I don't wear jerseys, period. But I think my Rockets Olalea 25 jersey is something I would wear before I wore or bought a Christian Walker jersey.
Just because it's way funnier.
Yeah, it's way funnier. Look at me. I've got a jersey with my name on the back.
I'm one of those guys.
I'm the least likely to be one of those guys, but in this case, because I think it's really funny, I am one of those guys. I'm doing it for comedy, not because I really wanted a vanity jersey. Yeah. So while the Christian Walker thing popped into my head because his performance this year hasn't been one that would elicit people going, yeah, love me some Christian Walker, the pitching made up for it yesterday, and you had the perfect 7 innings from your starter, your ace, a scoreless eighth from your setup man, and then Hader closes it out. If we're talking about the perfect way to win a game, that's what you want. Of course, you would have liked to score more runs. You wouldn't want to depend on Cooper Hummel. Shout out to him. Speaking of guys who not a lot of people own their jerseys, shout out to Cooper Hummel for that Oppo, as they say, Oppo Taco, as baseball people say, that Oppo Taco to win the game. So it was tight. It was a tight game. The pitches mattered. It was tense for a regular season game. And you got an unlikely hero in Cooper Hummel as the Astros keep finding ways to win games. They're great in one-run games. They're great in extra innings. And that's why when you look at their record and you see that they're one of the best teams in baseball, run differential doesn't mean anything. We've talked about it before. It's not a giant run differential compared to the rest of the division leaders. They have done really well in tight ball games, and that has a lot to do with their 8 and 9 guys. And in some ways, the surprising pitching you're getting from guys you didn't expect, mostly because, in some cases, you didn't know they existed until they got called up because of all the injuries. So they get a win. They start this series off against the Phillies with the win. Did anyone at any point say World Series? How would you put it?
Rematch?
Rematch, yes. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. I hope 3 years later we don't say that anymore, considering the teams are very, very different. But I'm sure it was said at some point, a World Series
2022
rematch.
World Series rematch.
Yes, I'm sure someone put it out there, even though how many guys are left even from 2022 at this point?
I know. I think that's the reason that this Astro team like actually feels different and definitely more surprising is that it is like the DNA is actually very much different than the 2022 team. Although I'm sure if you like counted it up, there's still a good amount, but like you'd be counting like Chaz McCormick in that, who has been de-emphasized, I'll say.
Yes. He is less important than he was even in 2022.
Yes. De-emphasized.
That's a nice way of putting it. The other word is benched, but de-emphasized.
And now hurt, and we kind of forgot about
it. Yes. Who's Chaz McCormick? You guys remember him. He was the surprising outfielder that you wanted Dusty to play more, but he didn't because Jake Myers had to play. And look at the fruits he's bearing.
Was Yiner was 2023.
Yiner was the guy people were furious about not playing more. And Dusty said you would thank him for limiting Yiner's at-bats because he would become what you would want from a catcher. But he wasn't right for the moment because Maldonado was still around.
Yeah, and they had Christian Vasquez. Yeah, they had multiple veteran catchers. So 23 was his first year.
Yeah, they had multiple. And Yiner became a guy, oh, look, a catcher can hit. We like those. Yeah, can they play more?
They just DH'd him in 2023. Yeah.
Dusty had his way. That's where Coin Boys came from because the thought was all Dusty did was flip a coin to make his decisions. And Dusty did get his World Series title, so... He's ridden off into the sunset happy.
The coin has spoken.
There it is. That's not where it originated as far as it didn't come from Dusty, but we associated Coin Boys with Dusty, and we grabbed that clip. So when we talk about Dusty, and now when we talk about random decisions, we play that thing. We will go to break with that. Appreciate the guys from the morning show doing what they do. Extending their show deep into our show. So less time for us means less time for Sean, which is more important. I'm on the back end of my time. I start this show already more than halfway through my day. Sean's just getting started. He loves a news of the weird that begins at 9:56.
10:04. Keep going with this.
Hey, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
No, ain't no one.
More sheep talk.
Ain't no one. Well, we had to get away from that at some point because it was going to go to a place where actual people who matter would have been offended if we kept going there. So we got away from that. But if you want to get in and call in, maybe you missed out on calling in earlier. That happens. We get carryover. If you want to do that, you can call in. 713-780-3776 is the number. Sean, we got a quote from a SEC legend that you're probably not going to like. Maybe he gets put on the Texas bleep list. But Steve Spurrier has some thoughts on Arch Manning and his hype, and he wasn't very complimentary. Maybe there's some logic to it, but we'll get to that, and we'll see if Steve Spurrier becomes one of the enemies of Longhorn football. Look, he loves getting on the skin of a university with the initials UT.
Yes.
So
just in general, loves stirring the pot.
He does love that. So we will talk about what he said about the next great one in Arch Manning. So we got plenty of to get to NBA trades. A lot of them are happening. People predicted that this would be the case, and it is certainly happening. And, of course, we got the draft tonight, which the Rockets aren't a part of, which is interesting just to, not from what they did. We understand why they did it, but just not to have a say or a part in a major event. That happened before when the Texans were without first-round picks, so I think the city may be used to it. But the Rockets, no picks. The draft seems like it'll start at 3, and there's the Rocket connection there. What will the Sixers do at 3? And what will Daryl Morey do? Will he take a young player? Will he trade it? That along with George and trade down? I think the draft gets interesting at 3, so we may get into that as well. But before we do all that, I want to tell you about Top Dog Fireworks. It's about that time. July 4th is approaching. So where you get the best fireworks at the best prices, it's Top Dog. You can check out what they have to offer at topdogfireworks.com. Or with their 14 locations now open around the city, you can head on in. And you can, of course, check out those locations at the website. And if you shop early, you get the best selection at the best prices. Check out their wall of buy one, get one free products. That means over 100 buy one, get one free products that you can choose from and have fun on July 4th. You can go in and see their daily store promotions because, yeah, I'm telling you what they have. But they're going to have things in store you can check out and see what you might love in the building. So you can also do this. If you spend $250, you receive a reward, and you can find all those locations where you can visit Top Dog at topdogfireworks.com, and a portion of every sale goes towards supporting local youth. So while fireworks can be for adults and for kids, any of those purchases that you make, a part of it's going to go to help those kids. And this is also something you need to take advantage of. You can enter the Top Dogs Fireworks Holiday Giveaway Contest. Each store location will have a winner of a fireworks assortment valued at over $450. And if you enter, you'll have the opportunity to win the grand prize, which is the Top Dog Beast Assortment that's valued at over $1,100. All you got to do to enter is go to either the Top Dog location or topdogfireworks.com and complete the entry form. So you got plenty of ways to have some fun this July 4th weekend. Stick with Top Dog.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean and I were having a, well, great long discussion. We will feature it today because we can stretch this out. But Sean has worked in a fireworks stand before. It's a family business in some ways.
Yeah,
so at some point, we will get to that. I did not know that about him. I've never met anyone who has worked in a fireworks stand. And he would say, everyone who runs one of those is pretty much the same.
They're similar.
They're similar. They're like variants of each other.
Yeah.
There are slight
it's a
differences.
Type of guy that gets
yeah, type, there's a type of guy who runs one of those fireworks stands. So don't meet those type of guys. Go to Top Dog Fireworks. They're a building. There are a lot of pop-up locations. You guys know those things, like parties, like the Halloween store, stuff like that. They're one of those things. They have a building, a storefront. Walk in there and get the fireworks of your choice. Okay. So that being said, we will move away from that. And, well, let's get to this quote because I think it's funny. It's very Steve Spurrier to do this. If you missed it, see, it's not that far away from football season again. It's late June, and training camps will begin, obviously, in the NFL in July. College fall camps, they call them that, even though, you know, they start in the middle of the summer. Those will begin here in about a month or so. So it's time for the luminaries to talk. So Steve Spurrier is among them. Despite the old ball coach not being a head coach for a while, people still want to hear from him. You get it. The Nick Sabans of the world, the Steve Spurriers of the world—they're always going to be able to have a voice, and people are going to hear what they have to, or going to want to hear what they have to say. Unless you are a Texas Longhorn, this is what Steve Spurrier said to Pat Dooley about your quarterback, Arch Manning. Most people picking Texas to win the SEC—they've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman too. My question is: if he was this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time last year, and he was a seventh-round pick? Sean, you would say they shouldn't have let Quinn Ewers play all that much.
Yeah.
But if we go by the coach is right and he knows what he's doing, and we know Steve Sarkisian has proven himself to be certainly a good program builder, and they've been to consecutive playoffs, the real one with the four-teamer and then the most recent one.
Semifinals both years.
And, well, one –
they earned their way to the semifinal.
Well, one, inherently you're in the semifinals because that it's a four-teamer. But, yes, they did win their way.
They're in the Final Four, back-to-back Final Four.
Yes, by beating Clemson at home and then surviving against Arizona State, 4th and 13. We all remember. For now, it'll fade away because it didn't result in a title. So, does Steve Spurrier have a point or Arch was the best choice last year and Sark got it wrong? Those are your two choices.
Oh, okay. I guess Steve Spurrier is kind of right, you know? Where it's like, there's a little bit of, I don't know if we should be handing this guy the Heisman, you know? But in general, like, I don't know, guys back up.
It happens.
A more experienced starter all the time.
It's true. It happens
quite a bit. I can raise my hand and go, what about DJ Lagway, who's probably like third on the Heisman odds? DJ Lagway sat behind Graham Mertz. What does that say about DJ Lagway?
True.
Like, that to me, because looking at all the lists, because this is also list season in college football, so many lists are like, I have DJ Lagway as the, like, third quarterback in the nation. Arch Manning, haven't seen enough of him. Can't put him on the list.
Well, I guess, the pushback would be that DJ Lagway was a true freshman, right? Was he a true freshman? And Arch had a redshirt year under his belt, correct?
Yes.
And so, after a redshirt year, you couldn't have possibly overtaken the senior who, you know, had just led the team to the playoffs.
And was in the process of
doing it again.
And was, like, the number one team in the nation at one point.
Yeah. So, I appreciate Steve Spurrier mucking it up.
Yeah.
It's always welcome.
I don't take it personally.
Yeah,
I'm just like, this is what Steve Spurrier, this is part of being in the SEC.
Yeah, you wouldn't have caught it if you were still in the Big 12. He probably wouldn't even have acknowledged you. But now that you're in the SEC and he's hearing all this talk, he's a quarterback guy. He's going to use it to take a shot. at the University of Texas. They're an easy target in some ways. Logically, yes, Arch as an inexperienced player, even though Quinn was only a seventh-round pick, Arch sits behind Quinn Ewers, the veteran quarterback who had success, sits behind him. And look, it wasn't like the season turned into a disaster, as we talked about it. They made the playoffs. So is the coach going to remove Quinn Ewers from the equation to start the inexperienced Arch Manning?
Steve Spurrier is like, yeah, you should just switch him out every series.
Yeah, have you met me?
Yeah, I want a game. Every play.
I want a game against Florida State playing Noah Brindise every three snaps. And I say that because Doug Johnson played and Jesse Palmer. I don't know the exact trio, but it might have been those three.
Yeah, he was just
flipping guys depending on the play. Maybe this
original coin boy.
Oh, definitely. He's one of the original coin boys. Where it's not I'm flipping receivers or running backs. I will have three quarterbacks play in the same series of downs if I want to.
I hate all these guys, so I'll just play them all.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, I can have my anger split between three because if it's
they piss me off less if they only play a third.
Because if
the
I'm
snap.
Yelling at one guy, I'm going to crush this kid. So let me yell at all three of them. That is one of the more remarkable things. This is Florida State at their peak. I don't know if they were a title contender. They may have already had one or two losses, but we're still talking about Bobby Bowden, Florida State, when it was Florida State. And he just ran out three quarterbacks and won the game. And not like one guy was the running quarterback. I mean, one was more athletic, but all these guys were throwing the football
drives. It wasn't like the, you know, how Arch and DJ Lagway got used last year, where it's like every once in a while, we just won the extra number in the running game. If not for him to actually carry it, just for the defense to be on edge that he might carry it. None of those guys were that guy. This wasn't, you know, the belldozer coming in. This wasn't some, you know, he's going to be a tight end at the next level coming in and running the ball. They're all like, no, we're quarterback. They probably all were labeled pro-style quarterbacks for a certain reason back in the day.
Yeah, why would they ever say something like that? The originator of the three-quarterback system, at least when it came to drop-back quarterbacks.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Because that's a good point, that normally when you get a rotation, like you might get the back and forth, I don't really know who's the star. I think Michigan did that the first year that McCarthy was it? Who was he deciding between? Oh, Kate McNamara and the Vikings quarterback.
And McCarthy.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy. I think they did that for the first like three games of the season. And then we're like, we're going to go with the guy who's going to get picked 10th overall in the draft.
Sure. So get ready. It's
talking season. I think this is the firing gun of talking season.
I believe that to be correct. I'm sure at some point some coach is going to take a shot at another coach in another conference for stealing their players or using NIL money to recruit because they recruit their kids off of culture and winning. They never use money to attract the kids. So we're about that time of the year. And
where's Eli Drinkwitz? Someone get eyes on Eli Drinkwitz.
I mean, when's SEC Media Days? I mean,
I just looked that up. July 14th to 17th.
Not that far away. So
wait, July 14th to the 17th? That's so long.
Why
is it that long? 14th, I guess there's 16 teams.
There's a lot of teams you got to
get through. Four teams a day.
And there's players you have to talk to and coaches as well. So still, 4 days for SEC Media Days feels like a lot, but the SEC has never been a conference to realize maybe too much is a bad thing.
Greg Sankey, you son of a gun. That's also the week of the MLB All-Star break.
Ah.
Content desert. How about this?
Yeah, so now.
How about Kalen DeBoer at the podium saying nothing? Huh? How do you like that?
What's Diego Pavia going to say?
Oh, yeah. You're thinking of actual entertaining people. Yeah. I'm like,
not the guys who won't give
it. What does Josh Heupel have to say about this?
Oh, man, the tour of ADs that we're going to get.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there'll be
Joe Castiglione sitting down with Feinbaum.
Watching Cristo Conte do all the talking. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, you got it.
You're not going to pin that on me. Not that the Sooners should have anything to say after last season.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin is going to be in our lives.
Oh, yeah. We're getting to that time, man, where the coaches will speak. They will air their grievances.
How they will fix college football, that coincidentally makes their job way easier.
Yeah, oddly enough. A lot of playoff talk because it looks like we won't have a new deal. So the coaches will be asked about it. Why what they want is so different from what the administrators in the same conference want.
Yeah.
It's about that time. Let's get ready to hear the coaches talk and in some ways just complain about their lot in life.
And it starts with big Arch Manning. What has he ever done?
Steve Spurrier. I appreciate him kicking it off. Just a little preview of what we're going to get all year long.
Again, I don't take it personal. I know what Arch Manning has to do. I get it. I know the expectations are high. I have high expectations.
Just over 2 months away from him and the Longhorns going to the Shoe, right?
Yeah.
In a game where Ohio
September,
State,
whatever,
Ohio
second.
I thought it was 30th. I don't know. Maybe right. It's a game where the Ohio State fans are pissed because it'll be at noon, because that's Fox's territory, big noon kickoff. And when Texas was asked
August 30th.
If they wanted to move the date to Sunday so it could be in prime time, Del Conte was like, no, this is a contract. We didn't make this decision. We already signed this contract. We're not getting a short week. And, of course, I think they're like playing San Jose State.
Yeah,
everyone's like, shut up,
Del Conte. They don't play anybody for like
quiet, Del Conte. What do you mean short week? But he's within his rights. That's when the contract – that's how it was put into the contract. So we're going to get a 11 a.m. kickoff. To be fair, 11:08 if we're lucky. It's 11:08 kickoff.
Still going to have to listen to Matt Leinart talk at 11 o'clock.
Urban Meyer will get his final thoughts in. Rob Stone will wrap it up.
It's going to be Ohio State suck fest, too.
Maybe. They are the defending national champions. They might at least deserve it for that weekend. As the defending national champions hosting.
That was
Texas.
Last year's team, buddy. Julian Sain, you ain't done jack.
It's true. So we will
Carnell see. Carnell
Tate. Feeling pretty good about a first-time starter. They do have Jeremiah Smith, though.
Yeah, notice I didn't say he hasn't done jack.
He's done a lot. He's done plenty.
Remember that Oregon game.
He'll be on the field.
Didn't do anything against Texas.
It's true.
Now Texas lost, like, a safety and a first-round cornerback.
You guys just reload. Ain't no one worried about your lack of depth at corner. We'll see.
Lost Blake Gideon, too, safeties coach.
Once again, no one's that concerned about Texas and their ability to recruit DBs. We will see how.
It's hard. In the NIL time,
Texas has no money to pay anyone to show up.
We
got to
do something about this. So many guys just chasing a bag, you know, not coming and making – not just a 4-year decision, Dell.
A 40-year decision. Yeah. I'm sure Ricky Williams was thinking about that when he left San Diego to play for Texas. No bags involved in that at all.
It's just like, you know what? I really love what Mack Brown is building. I believe in him.
Mm-hmm. Left the West Coast. Didn't play at USC. Actually, at that time, good decision not to play at USC in the late 90s.
Yeah, UCLA, passed up UCLA, USC. Yeah,
UCLA
drove past Arizona and Arizona State as he was moving into Austin.
Drove past. I'm sure Texas sent a first-class ticket.
Oh, that would have been an informational benefit.
Yeah, that never happened in the 90s.
Oh.
All right, we'll go to break with that because Texas never did anything wrong.
Nope.
And they still don't. If you want to talk about college football or anything else, 713-780-3776. We'll kind of run down some Texan stuff because the lists are out, which is fine. There's also some betting odds about the Texans' early part of their season that you can agree or disagree with. So we'll get to that when we come back. It's me and Sean till noon, and then Paul Gallant follows us. So we'll see you when we get back.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we were going to talk about some Texan stuff until Ari Alexander reporting. He works for NBC until his reporting tells us that Jeremy Pena and the Astros were in deep conversations on a contract extension for 5 years, $105 million. And the operative word is were. Because once you click on the link and read the article, they were in those conversations before Scott Boras was hired. And you might imagine those conversations are now over. So the average, I can't say I did the quick math. I did it on the calculator. I'm not ashamed. It's 21 per year. That might have been the old price. But the way Peña's playing now, that will stay the old price. He is not signing for $21 million per for 5 years. Not with Scott Boras in tow. So the Astros are like, hey, we might get this done. And then I imagine someone close to Jeremy Peña said, are you looking at the year you're having? Are you kidding me? A shortstop with your range, your arm, and the offensive numbers you're putting up at 27 years old, you think it's 21 per year? It yeah. should get to your actual age at a minimum.
Yeah, you're going to get 150 minimum. Like if he was a free agent at the end of the season, like he'd be getting – like if this was his contract year, he'd be getting so much more than 105. Do you think that when – I don't know if he heard the news or if Scott Boras just called Dana Brown and was like, hey, you know, I'd love to talk to you about the Jeremy Peña extension. He was like, stop messing with me, Scott. What are you talking about? You don't represent him. He's like, actually, I do. Do you think he had a split second of like, damn it.
Like the LeBron thing when Kawhi entered during the finals and LeBron's at the free throw line and Kawhi's checking back. He's like, damn it. Wouldn't surprise me. If that was his, maybe he doesn't vocalize that, but his internal reaction, knowing that they were in deep conversations until Peña was like, you know what, let me reconsider. And then Boras is now his representative. I could imagine some frustration there. So we apparently were very close to having Jeremy Peña locked up until someone figured out that the Astros were getting him on the cheap. And now Scott Boras is in play. And it feels like we're going to be a long way away from Jeremy Peña signing anything. Years away, maybe even. I think Scott Boras is going to tell him, bet on yourself.
Yeah, he doesn't become a free agent until after the 2027 season.
A long way away. So at some point, if this continues, and now, sure, Scott Boras will negotiate with the Astros. And if they give him a deal that he thinks makes sense, sure. He can sign and be an Astro, but generally when Scott Boras is involved, he's not asking for things that the team deems reasonable, at least at this point. Like, we know Altuve got his, others have gotten theirs early, but a 27-year-old shortstop in his prime playing the way that Jeremy Peña is suggests that they got to come correct, at least in Scott Boras' eyes, or this is going to stretch into next season at a minimum. And then we get into the whole thing that we did with Kyle Tucker, although that would be 2 years away. Do we trade him before we can't pay him? But we've talked about this before. Just enjoy Jeremy Peña now. It is interesting to know that they appear to be close. At least someone is saying they're close, sources telling KPRC. I wonder what close actually means. Is it like Astros close when they're talking about injuries? Or is it actually like at the finish line until maybe said someone hold up?
Yeah, because we're in deep contract extension discussions. That, like you said during the break, that's something where if Woj or Shams tweeted that out or Schefter tweeted that out.
We're getting finalization within hours.
Yes, you're getting, you know, the follow-up tweet about the article about how it's happening, like you said, within the hour probably. But this being in past tense does make it seem like it was a little bit farther away just because, like, we didn't hear about it in the moment and that we're farther away now than we were when they were in deep contract extension talk.
And it sounds like if we're doing the reckless speculation, this came from the Astros side. Like, hey, we were working hard.
105.
To get this deal done.
Over 3 years?
And we were close.
No.
Over five. And, hey, we were...
Jalen Green got $100 million over three.
Different sports, man. Just different
sports. Do you think Dana Brown's like, should have worked on your jump shot,
hey,
Jeremy?
Hey, I know all that work you did on your hitting. And, you know, you have a new approach and new mechanics. Maybe you should have worked on the mechanics of a step-back jumper. Where... we just hand out deals to guys who are...
yeah, we don't even know if you're good.
We don't even know if... yeah, we'll give you 30-plus a year. We don't even though we don't know you're good. In fact, we're so unsure that you're good, we're going to trade you less than a year after we sign you
and
to the deal.
And the team that gets you is going to be pretty tepid about it.
Yeah. We're backed into a corner because no one wanted their guy, so they'll take you on. And then, you know, I won't say lie, but put out word that they're really excited about having you.
Yeah.
Just how the sports are made.
It is crazy to, like, especially at times like this where we're both just so in NBA contract brain, and it's like this guy turned down $25 million per year or was offered and was close to signing it before the one agent who's like, no, what? In the sport comes along.
Knock it off. You could get paid 21.
27-year-old shortstop.
Are you nuts?
Why would you lock in your prime for this?
Yeah, for this.
Your one shot to get a big deal.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pretty, resigned to the fact that he will be a free agent. That just with how his age works, this will be the only time that he's actually, eligible, but actually can get the big cash-in deal when you're a free agent. Because they don't do it once you're past 30. So being, he'll be a free agent when he's 29, 28? No, 29. That's the time where it's like, okay, you'll sign the Xander Bogaerts deal where the Padres immediately regret it. For Jeremy's sake, they don't immediately regret it. But that's the kind of thing. It's like, I want to lock in at this price for the rest of my career. Whatever happens, happens.
Just
maybe I'm Trey Turner.
Whatever it might be, long-term deal, lots and lots of money, and we'll see what happens as my career goes on. So, exceeds 105. Keith, we see you. We're going to go to break, and we'll get to you. Hang on. You want to talk some NBA. Exceeds 105 million.
Means less than 110.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out what does that mean, 105 and a half, 108? Is that what we're saying? Just 105 over 5 is it's a nice, solid number.
Yeah,
21.
They want to go like 106 and a half.
Yeah.
Exceeds 105.
Yeah. We'll just say that. It's better.
It's also probably was more loosely negotiated. Like
it could have been some fluctuation.
They probably weren't actually super close.
Yeah, he wasn't about to put pen to paper. But they at least had a framing of what the deal would be until he kept hitting the baseball. And then things had to change.
Imagine if he signed that like in spring training and then he's got off to the season that he started. We'd all just be like, fleece this guy.
Yeah. And that's why players have guys like Scott Boras to represent him. And Jeremy Pena did that immediately.
I think
after
Scott Boras is
start.
Like he's like a roving superhero just going from town to, like Reacher, going from town to town.
Yeah, he's more like Reacher than the superhero because ways he's beating the crap out of people,
throwing people
leaving
windows.
Guys for dead, guys are dying, and he just walks away.
Just punches Hal Steinbrenner in the face.
Yeah. I think Reacher is a good way to put it. It's just
and more vagabond, like he just comes in, had never met Hunter Brown until last season after Hunter Brown had a good year, and he's like, let me make you $250 million.
Scott Boras looks at it, I see an injustice, I'm gonna wreck this town and change it around, then I'm gonna leave. And that's what he's gonna do to the Astros for Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena if he has his way. All right, we'll go to break. If you want to call in about this or anything else, 713-780-3776. Keith, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk some NBA. But first, let's talk about Monument Chevrolet. You don't need a Scott Boras when you go to Monument Chevrolet. They're not looking to, let's just say, screw you over like maybe an MLB team would do and get a deal that benefits them. They want a deal that benefits you. And that means getting you in the best car possible at the price that you see. Once you take a look at what they have to offer at MonumentChevrolet.com. The big part about them, or the big piece of the Monument Chevrolet experience, is you see a price, there's no upselling, there's no hidden fees. The great salespeople there aren't trying to trick you. What they're trying to do is get you in the best car for you and do it as quickly as possible. They understand car buying can be a little testy, a little weird when you're fighting for what you want. It won't be a fight there. Now, they're not going to rush you. They're not going to bum rush you on the lot. They understand maybe it's something where you're browsing. They're just going to be there to help you whenever you need it. So understand. You get on that lot, you're now like family, and they treat you like a family member that they want to come back. You're not an in-law. You are your blood relative that they love. So you keep coming back whether it be for your car or your kids' cars, like generations of families have bought cars from them because they've been in business for over 50 years. So they're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And whether you want a new car or pre-owned or something for your business, they have great cars for all those things. And, of course, they got a good sales department, but their parts department and their service department is there for you, too, if you need anything. So remember this. MonumentChevrolet.com is a website. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their Essential Prenatal Multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.